Week after that, who's going? Where is Kevin Durant going? Where's Kawhi going? Almost instantly, like last night, as I was leaving the ballpark, listening to the post game on the NBA, it was hysterical because the major topics were, is Kawhi going to return? Uh-huh. And is Masai Ujiri going to return to Canada? And it's like, they just won the title 20 minutes ago. And there is no time for reflection. That league and its schedule is unbelievable in that regard.
It's almost like the reflection comes after the fallout. You know, like, people are going to, like, Toronto will do its reflection. We talked with Richard Deitch earlier in the show, and there's this, you know, kind of sense that Kawhi may leave, and that's okay. I mean, he's talking about a banner getting raised for Kawhi at that window.
He gets a statue there.
He should, for one season, and it's really kind of incredible. But it's like we do the hard part first, the Durant, the Clay, the Kawhi, the Masai, all that stuff. And then we'll think about the X's and O's and Fred VanVleet hitting big-time shots. And Kyle Lowry put up a goose egg in the playoffs not all that long ago. And he was out there in the first half having some of the best basketball of his life.
So Tony had said to me, he goes, do you want to put an NBA guest on? And I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess. But there's so much other stuff that's happening, like, in Chicago, yeah, that it's hard to even figure out a place for it on the show. And when you have this, like, turnaround that happens with the NBA, it is unreal. The turning of the page in the NBA is unlike any other league in sports. It's absolutely amazing. I am not going to waste any more of you guys' time. Go and have yourselves a terrific weekend.
Have fun, man.
Groats.
Bears.
It's on the list of things to talk about today. Thank you to Mark Grody, Connor McKnight. Connor hanging out and doing the Bernstein and McKnight show with Groats. Bernstein's back Tuesday?
Monday.
Oh, he is back on Monday. Okay. All right. I thought maybe you'd get a nice vacation, but I guess only one day away from Dan Bernstein. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago. The top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Join Coach Fitz and the 17th-ranked Cats this fall at Ryan Field. Matchups include Ohio State, Michigan State, and Iowa. Season tickets are on sale now at nusports.com. This hour is also being brought to you by Continental Motors. Searching for a used car? Search ContinentalMotors.com for the Continental difference. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
So I'm going to spell this guy's name, the guy that I used to do the show with, and I want you to figure, you got a pen, I want you to write this down.
Okay.
And I want to see if you can pronounce his name.
All right.
Okay?
Here we go.
B-Y-F. U-G-L-I-E-N.
Ooh. Bifuglian. Bifusion. Bifuglian. Bifuglian. Wait. Bifuglian. And that's going to be my final answer.
I'll show him a picture of him right now.
Yeah, you should probably, because I think it's probably going to blow his mind.
Whoa!
Exactly. That's Dustin Bufflin.
Make me a bicycle clown.
The miseducation of Tony Gill continues on this show. Welcome in. I am Lawrence Holmes, and I am here with you until 2 o'clock. We have so much stuff to talk about on today's show. We might even have a special guest pop by later on in the show, so make sure that you stick around for that. I expect to talk about the Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs, White Sox, and Bears in the next 2 hours. And I'm glad that you are along for the ride. Hopefully you are enjoying lunch or settling in at your desk or driving around the city on a beautiful day. And we are thankful that we are your choice from noon to 2 to try and entertain you and have a little bit of fun while we talk about the old sports-a-roo. The crew, Tony Gill is executive producer. Rick Camp is Rick Damn Camp. And they're here with me as well. You'll hear their voices throughout the show. There's a lot for us to discuss, but we begin the show as we begin all things with the rundown.
Run them down.
The rundown.
This is your rundown for Friday, June 14th. Let's start in the NBA, where the league and the season just don't stop, and it doesn't matter that game six of the final is over and there is a champion. But there is a champion, and it's from the home of basketball.
Now the Warriors just inbound, and that's it. There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions, the Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
I like that call, courtesy of ABC, Mike Breen on the call. The game was back and forth, kind of amazing. You have Klay Thompson getting hurt in the game, coming out there, shooting his two free throws, while he's got a torn ACL. That after, you have Kevin Durant go down with an Achilles. You had Steph looking around like, what am I supposed to do now? Well, I mean, you still did have Boogie Cousins and Draymond Green out there with you to help win, but Kawhi was not going to be denied. He was finals MVP. And he is in real elite company when you talk about guys that have done it for two different teams.
By winning your second MVP of the finals with a different team, you join select company, Kareem and LeBron James. As you let that sink in, what crosses your mind?
Man, last summer, man, was going through a lot. And you know, I had a great support system. I just kept working hard, and had my mind set on this goal right here. I came to a team, a new coach. That mindset was the same as mine, trying to get that Larry O.B. over there. And, you know, this is what I play basketball for. This is what I work out for all summer during the season. And I'm happy that my hard work paid off.
That is the most that you have ever heard Kawhi Leonard talk. And it was heartfelt. And he's a MVP and a champion again. He was incredible throughout the playoffs, and it was a joy to watch him in that last series against the Golden State Warriors that now have a ton of questions. Is Kevin Durant coming back? Is Klay Thompson coming back? Did that feel like the end? Because I know a lot of basketball fans that were like, well, that seems like a real perfect place for a punctuation on the dynasty of the Golden State Warriors. And Steph Curry is like, not so quick there, fam. We all right.
Robert Littow, BSO. When Draymond was in here, Steph, he said that he felt like a lot of people looked at this like an ending to you guys' run, but that would be a mistake on their part. Can you talk about the resiliency of your team, and if indeed you had that feeling as well, and should people not put you guys in the grave right now?
I mean, tough way to go out. You obviously credit Toronto on a great series. They went out and won it. They played amazing tonight all across the board. They had contributions, and yeah, it's a tough feeling, you know, being on this side of losing in the finals, but I think a lot has been, you know, proven about who we are as a team and the fight that we have and all the adversity that we dealt with, and, you know, this entire playoff run, and, you know, it's a one possession game to keep our season alive tonight. So we'll be thinking about this one. It's tough, but our DNA and who we are and you know, the character that we have on this team, I wouldn't bet against us.
Okay, but let's see what ends up happening, because that team may not be the same team that we've seen for the last 5 years. Moving on to Los Angeles and the Cubs in a big series. The Cubs front office thought that this would be a big series for their team. Cubs team struggling on the road, but they got off to a really great start yesterday against Clayton Kershaw.
He hits a high fly ball, in fact, to deep center on the first pitch. Back is Verdugo to the wall. Gone! On the first pitch, Kyle Schwarber homers to center off Clayton Kershaw. Now that's the way to raise a curtain. Swung on, hit in the air, right center field and deep. This ball's got a chance. Gone. It has been a couple of weeks. Now it's been only about 5 seconds. Chris Bryant with a home run to right center. Cubs have taken Kershaw deep for the second time in the game.
Yeah, things were going really well. You had Chris Bryant going oppo. Schwarber has been pretty good in the leadoff spot. You're hitting Kershaw. And then the Dodgers just two-run homered the Cubs to death.
Bellinger hits it deep to left center field. Back toward the wall is Schwarber and Almora. That's a home run. Bellinger with a two-run homer, and the Dodgers are right back in the game. Muncy hits a fly ball to deep left center. Back is Almora at the wall, and that is a home run. Max Muncy with a home run, and the Dodgers lead 4-3.
Short lead at first for Turner. Here comes the pitch by Lester. This one is hit in the air to deep right field. Bryant goes back. He's at the track. He's at the wall looking up, and it's gone. A two-run home run for David Freese, and the Dodgers extend the lead 6-3.
So they end up winning the game 7-3. John Lester, you look at his home road splits this year, they have not been great. The Cubs rough up Clayton Kershaw early, but it wasn't enough. And between Bellinger and Muncy, man, that Dodgers team looks incredible. Here's a number on Cody Bellinger, by the way, that you might find interesting. Cody Bellinger is already a 6 WAR, 6 wins above replacement. He is on pace to have a 14.5 WAR at the end of the season. That's pretty incredible.
Isn't he like 19?
I don't think he's that young, but he's still pretty young. And the fact that he is doing this, I mean, he had kind of gone into a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a slump, but he had slowed down a little bit, and then Cubs pitching got him right. So we'll see how the Cubs react in tonight's matchup with the Dodgers. I do want to talk about that at some point later on in the show, like whether or not, you know, if you're a Cub fan, you look at the Dodgers as the measuring stick for your team. But we'll get to that a little bit later on. Let's go to the south side of Chicago where things look bleak. Memphis bleak for the White Sox last night. They were getting beat up by the Yankees. They had to overcome a 4-run deficit, and they fought their way back, and then hashtag stick talk. That's my quarterback, Tim Anderson.
Tim cracks this ball. Center field. Hicks is back at the wall. Gone, we're tied.
You damn right we tied. He didn't even backflip. Didn't need to. 4-4. And then Leury Garcia, who I give a hard time to, had a really great game yesterday and came through in a big way late.
Breaking ball in the air. Right field. Tottman back at the wall. He doesn't matter. The Sox have the lead. Garcia makes it 5-4.
And they hang on to the lead. And they didn't have Alex Colomé. He was not available for the game, although Ricky, before the game, was like, look, don't ask me because I don't want to give them an advantage. He went to Aaron Bummer instead, and Bummer got it done.
3-2. Here comes strike three. LeMahieu mystified by Bummer's sinker, and the Sox win the opener of a rugged 15-game stretch, 5-4 over the Yankees.
So the White Sox win. After the game, Tim Anderson talked about how he kind of loves these pressure-filled big moments.
Man, you know, I got my pitch that I was looking for, and I didn't miss it. And, you know, it was a key moment in the game, you know, tie the game. And, you know, Leroy followed up and, you know, put us ahead.
His manager, Ricky Renteria, is really impressed with what he's seeing from his squad.
These guys continue to impress. I thought if you look up and down the lineup, I mean, Pito hit a couple balls hard. Eloy had some nice at-bats, you know, didn't chase, kept the line moving. I know Lonzo had a couple chances, didn't come through, but, you know, they all put together some pretty good at-bats today.
They did, and now the White Sox have set up for them a game tonight where Lucas Giolito will be on the mound on the south side against the Yankees. The White Sox are 33-34, so a win tonight gets them back to 500. That is your rundown for Friday, June 14th. And I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the White Sox. And if you listen to the show since we've been on the air, since we started back in March, the beginning of the season, you know that my expectations, and I think they match a lot of White Sox fans, are the expectations on the White Sox this year has been, let's see improvement from individuals. Let's see how these guys develop. Well, a funny thing has happened inside the individual development of the players, that there is some team development. And you heard me earlier this week get frustrated with games that they've lost that I felt like they could win. And I think that that's a good thing. I think that that means that the White Sox are in a better place as a franchise than where they've been for the last few years. I am excited about tonight. I don't know if they're going to win, but they got their best shot. And I know that you don't get trophies for getting to be a 500 team, but I don't know if any of you thought that the White Sox would be in a position, and myself included, in a position to be 500 in June. Now, if you were talking about at the end of the season, seeing the White Sox play above 500 baseball for the last 6 weeks of the season, and that that was an indicator of the arrow pointing up for the franchise, I think we all probably would have said amen, hallelujah to that. It's the small things inside of a rebuild. And I know that there are some people like, I don't want to get my hopes up. I'm not talking about playoffs. I'm not talking about even them being a contender for the wild card. What I'm talking about is them offering hope. That when was the last time you as a White Sox fan really had genuine hope? Not excitement. Not like, okay, well, Kopech is up, I'm excited. But genuine hope that there might be something here. And I am looking forward to seeing tonight how these guys react to it. Here's a big moment. This is me putting the big moment on them. I don't know how they feel. But here's the big moment. One of the best teams in the American League, who you've played well against so far, is in town. Your best pitcher, the guy that you think should go to the All-Star game and maybe start the All-Star game, is on the mound. It's Friday night. It's a team that draws. There's going to be a lot of people in the building. The weather is perfect. Let's go. Like, this is why we love sports. This is it right here, where you get that opportunity to see your team grow into something. I am excited about it. I'm so excited about this game. And last night, here's the question that I want to ask you. I don't know how you're paying attention to White Sox baseball this year. I know how I am. I don't know about you. But if you are paying attention, I want to ask you this question. You can text in your thoughts at 670-11, and we'll open up the phone lines too. How much did last night's win mean to you? 312-644-6767 is the number. Because that was the type of win that gets fan bases excited. Really good team. Nice night. Good crowd. Coming back. Your young guys leading the way in the comeback. And you win? Man. I don't know if you can tell by the sound of my voice. You understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? Yes. Well, maybe we need a new song for this group. But yes, that's how I feel. I feel great and excited for a Friday night game on the south side of Chicago. 312-644-6767 is the number. My name is Lawrence Holmes. Let's talk about this. You're listening to The Score.
Bernstein and McKnight, 9 a.m. to noon on The Score.
Theo Epstein. I wonder if there was a whole lot of contact prior to the season with Kimbrel.
A little bit different dynamic this winter. Kimbrel wasn't attainable for us. Once a couple things changed on our end and his market started to come into an area that was more realistic for us, it became just clear. It was such a unique opportunity.
Listen to Bernstein and McKnight, 9 to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score, a radio.com sports station.
This is John Feinstein with a CBS Sports Minute. Ryan O'Reilly of the St. Louis Blues won the Conn Smythe Trophy as the MVP of the Stanley Cup playoffs and was deserving of all the praise he received after playing superbly, especially in the Cup Finals. But there's no doubt